Reformed Church.
But let me just talk to you about the purpose of the Bible, all right? I'm going to show you this from a scriptural standpoint. Man, there's so many people that will make points and they'll teach a whole message, and it's like they're not, where are the footnotes on that? Like, make sure you check every claim that someone says, and where are the footnotes? Even when someone has scripture for it, doesn't mean it's true, because even the devil can misuse scripture. But gosh, let alone when you're not even using scripture, make sure that you have scripture for every point that people are making to you. Hopefully this writes. Look at that. Okay. So the Bible, I'm just going to talk to you about two purposes that the Bible has. Just two things that I want to share with you tonight. Well, I might as well just write the one up there. So let's talk about the Bible first and foremost as a standard. Okay. So one of the purposes of the Bible is to be given as a standard. And what I mean by that is people before the Bible was written could hear from God. You know, for instance, we have Abraham as an example that the Bible uses specifically as an example of faith, points back to him as our father, because we follow in the steps of his faith, as Romans 4, I believe, says. We follow in the steps of his faith, which makes him our father, meaning after our faith, because we take after his faith. And he didn't have a Bible, so God could speak to people before the Bible was written. People could hear from God before the Bible was written, which is what we'll get into. But there's an interesting concept, though, that they didn't have, and they did not have a standard of truth, though. So what ended up happening is, before the Bible was written, God could speak to you, and the gospel was spoken and was being preached. Noah, even, was even before Abraham, and just a few generations after Adam, and Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached the gospel. So the gospel was being preached, and people understood that. But they didn't have a standard. So Noah couldn't preach the gospel and then say, well, it's not just me saying it, you know, whatever. Let's look at the book of John. Let's look at the book of whatever, 1st or 2nd Samuel. And because you can see, you know, so I can confirm this with the witness of Scripture, where other men of God, that we believe is inspired by God, right, where other men of God wrote these things. So you can see it's not just me. He didn't have that. So now it doesn't mean that he was without a witness to help him, because really, signs and wonders are supposed to be our sidekick when we're preaching. That's the necessity of signs and wonders. So they did have signs and wonders where you could preach, and for instance, Elijah was preaching and people weren't believing him, but then when he called fire down out of heaven, that was like a sidekick. The works that you do testify of you, that you're of God. Okay, so you can have works, and especially when your works are miraculous, especially in those cases, like Jesus said, that people were without excuse for not believing him because he did the works that no other man did. So they did have that witness, that help for people to believe them, where, again, when Elijah called fire down out of heaven, all of a sudden now Israel believes now. Okay, now they're going to confess that the Lord is really God. So there was that aid. So you could have the proof of signs and wonders to try to, like, help people to believe your point, but they didn't have scripture, so they couldn't point. There was no standard of truth. But after scripture was written, though, you see that even Jesus himself, which is kind of ironic, because anything Jesus would have said is the word of God. You understand, right? Because if he's the one that wrote scripture, so he could have said anything and it would have been the word of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God, the power of God, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He's the wisdom of God, the power of God. All the qualities of Jesus are God's qualities. He's just made up of the qualities of the Father. So anything he would have said would have been the word of God, and yet when the devil tempted him, what did he say? It's written. And he would quote scripture, right? When he would even teach in the synagogues, he taught in the synagogue and he read from Isaiah 61. He said, this scripture has now been fulfilled in your ears. He used scripture to prove himself as the Messiah. He used scripture to prove his points even when speaking to the devil. The Bible, many times through the Gospels, will say, so that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus did this. He would do things to match up with Scripture. Why? So that you would recognize him from the testimony of Scripture that he really was who he said he was. People will often ask, why didn't Jesus write anything himself? Because he said himself that many will come saying that I am the Christ. Anybody can say that they're the Christ. Jesus didn't want to just be another person that just came writing a book or, you know, collecting a following to testify of himself. He said, if I just am testifying of myself, my testimony is not true. That's why he didn't write any books himself. He had people that were witnesses of him. Because again, when people want notoriety, there are people that will say that they're the Christ. But he had other people testify of him, that he did these various different things, which is why we have the New Testament. Witnesses that saw him, and they're corroborated one another. That's why we have several different gospels. And they corroborate the information, and you can see that they're all the same information from just different angles. And that's what, again, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are all very similar information, especially Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's all the same information. They're witnesses of people that looked at Jesus, and then they would say, so that the scripture might be fulfilled, he did this, meaning they match him up with what scripture said beforehand. Because what are they doing? Jesus wanted not just to say, oh, I'm the Christ, because again, anybody can say that. He wanted people to look at him and for his works to speak for themselves, for his actions to speak for themselves, that they matched scripture. Because Jesus had such respect for scripture, he's the one that wrote it, as a standard. Man, Jesus himself used scripture as a standard. I think this is Acts chapter 9. Paul, it says, was convincing the Jews, proving from scripture that Jesus was the Christ. What was he doing with scripture? Proving from scripture that Jesus was the Christ. He wasn't just saying it. He said he was proving it, which is why Jesus used scripture. Paul and the apostles used scripture as a method of proving the points about Jesus. Why? Because scripture, God gave it as a standard. So you could hear from God and have the gospel before the Bible was written. Most of the people throughout the Bible's history didn't have a Bible. If you think about, most of the examples of faith that we have in scripture didn't have a Bible. The Bible was being written slowly as time went on. Until the time of Moses, scripture hadn't even been written yet. And even after it was written, most people, they weren't like they were carrying their King James Bible to church. They didn't have that. They had probably a few copies, and they didn't even have all the Bible. They just had like a book or two. And they could hear from God, because we hear from God by the Spirit, and I'll talk about that when we get to our second point here. But so they could hear from God. They could preach the gospel. It was passed down verbally, I suspect, because the Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? So it does initially, before you get saved, the gospel needs to be passed down to you verbally, right? I teach a whole message on that. So, of course, I suspect Adam had to have known the gospel, because then he passed that down. God taught Adam and Eve even the gospel. It's recorded in the garden about the, quote-unquote, about the woman's seed, which is a term for Jesus in Genesis chapter 3. And Adam understood the gospel because he taught it clearly to his children, where at the very least Abel understood it. And that was passed down verbally, but they never had scripture to be able to say, you know what, I'm telling you this, but look, it's not just me. It says it right here. You know, it is written. Couldn't say it is written. It wasn't written yet. The message was there. Now, scripture, just so you know, when it was written, it's not a different message. It's the same message that's always been taught. It's the same gospel that's always been taught, and the same gospel that's been in the heart of God from even before mankind sinned. God's always had it in his heart to redeem mankind. That's why even the very moment that Adam sinned, God was already preaching the gospel to Adam about the answer. So the gospel's always been around, but God never jotted it down through anybody. He never wrote it down. So what's one of the reasons God took the same message, but then just wrote it down? Because just so you know, the Bible is not an instruction manual for how to live. That's not what the Bible is. The Bible is an instruction manual about Jesus. And the Bible says that in John chapter 5. Jesus said, these are they that testify of me. Remember, we're proving things from Scripture, right? The Bible doesn't say it's an instruction manual on how to live. You know that's not a verse? That's not a verse. But guess what is a verse? These are they that testify of me, Jesus said. So I'm giving you a verse for what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying? So like someone might want to argue with the fact, because if someone's offended that I said it's, you know, it's not an instruction manual for how to live, but it's an instruction manual on what Jesus did for you and what that can do to your life. But the thing is, you got to have a verse for it, though. You got to have scripture for it, for these things. Jesus defined scripture, these are they that testify of me. So the Bible is just about what Jesus did for us. That's all that the Bible is. In fact, even furthermore, in 1 Peter 1, it speaks about those that were writing scripture, and it says that they testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would follow. You see, it's the crucifixion, what Jesus did for us, and the glory that we get through that crucifixion. Of course, the glory that we all get, including Jesus. the glory followed for him and us. You know, and we know that that's what that glory is talking about. It's not just talking about Jesus. When it says the glory that would follow after the sufferings of Christ, it's referring to the glory we all get with Jesus, because in Hebrews, it's 1 or 2, I think it's chapter 2, it says that Jesus brought many sons to glory, in other words, with him. So scriptures, that's what scripture's about, according to 1 Peter 1. It says that they were writing beforehand about the sufferings of Christ, the crucifixion, and the glory that would follow. I mean, the glory that we all get with Jesus now because of all the stuff he did. Yay, we all get to celebrate that now. And it's written down for us so I can prove those points, so you can prove those points to other people, and show it's not just me saying it. Even what we were just talking about before, I said, oh, you know, some people would choke on this message. And they would. But you know what, though? I got scripture now. So I can give you scripture, and then I can, like Brother Matt said beforehand, then you can just wrestle with God's word then. If you don't believe that I'm speaking the word of God, I can give you something that you believe supposedly that is the word of God, and I'll just let you have that. And then when you go to bed at night, you could be thinking about that scripture instead of just thinking that you're just dismissing me. Now you can say, and I'm not saying everything I say is right, but I'm telling you what I just, the point I made before was correct, and I showed it from scripture, and that's the importance of scripture as a standard, okay? Really important of scripture as a standard. So hopefully that gives you an overarching view of one of the purposes of scripture. And I just gave you a whole bunch of references for that, right? I gave you Acts chapter 9. I gave you when Jesus was in the synagogue. It's somewhere around Luke chapter 4, somewhere around there when Jesus, I could be wrong on the reference, when Jesus spoke in the synagogue and gave scripture to show himself as the Messiah. Luke chapter 4, at the very least, is the temptation of Jesus, where Jesus says, you know, it is written to the devil, proving his point from scripture there. I mentioned more references as well. That should all show you that scripture was given for a standard. So that now the gospel that's always been around, now we got some help to prove our points. But also, scripture as a standard also helps us personally as a standard, because it keeps you on track. If you say, I heard something from God, you can measure it against scripture now. And if that was never said in scripture, then God didn't tell you. If you can't reconcile that with scripture, then God didn't tell you. If it's unscriptural, is what I'm trying to say. If it contradicts scripture, then God didn't tell you that. And this is why I've said before, I don't mean this to be like rude or anything to people. I just, you know, if I had a nickel for every time someone said God told me and I knew that God didn't tell them, I have a lot of nickels. People will say God told me, but I've heard so many people say, well, if someone says God told them, who am I to say anything to them? Well, you are someone to say something back. Because you have scripture as a standard. So you just, if they say, God told me, and you compare it to the Bible, if it don't match up, you can tell them that God didn't tell you that. You can say, I love you before you say that, but you can tell them God didn't tell you that. You know, God wouldn't lead you that way, though, because that contradicts this verse or that verse. You see the importance of a standard, but it also helps you, because when you do that, and you think, oh, God told me this, people will say, oh, God just really convicted me, and he was really showing me my sin, and I can say, well, I know that God didn't do that. Because according to, what is this? It's John 12 or 16. I think it's 16. It says that the Holy Spirit would come and convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment, not believers. So I know that he didn't convict you of sin, not to mention the fact that the sin that it mentions there is the sin of unbelief. So I have a scripture to tell you that, no, God didn't actually do that. That was your conscience. The Bible says in 1 John that it says, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. Meaning, the condemnation you felt inside, it was your own heart, was your own conscience. Even when in John chapter 8, when the woman was caught in adultery, it says that the people left one by one, and I believe the word convicted is even used, that they were convicted by their consciences. Their conscience, their own conscience did that, not the Holy Spirit. So when someone says, oh, the Holy Spirit really convicted me, well, they believe God told them that because they felt nauseous or something after they sinned. They made themselves sick to their stomach with guilt. But I can tell them now. In other words, what am I supposed to say there? What are you supposed to say there when someone says that? Oh, well, they said God told them so. No, you have scripture to compare it to. Why would he have given you scripture if you couldn't compare it to as a standard? Compare it. And if you know it, that's not scriptural, then you tell them that. And you say, listen, I love you, but I got good news for you. That's not God doing that to you. God, I know that's not. The Bible says he wouldn't do that. The Bible says that He convicts the world of sin, and that's just unbelief, let alone the sin you're talking about. It's something Jesus paid for. God's made reconciliation for it, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, God's reconciled the world. He's not imputing our trespasses to us. Jesus took that at the cross. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. I mean, like, you can just pull out a whole bunch of scripture at him, throw it at him, and guess what? And even if you don't know the reference, that's okay. There's a lot of references I don't know. I prayed a while ago. I said, Lord, I want to know references more. I want to be able to, like, spit out a reference when I need it. And I never felt led to just go and try to memorize a verse or anything like that. So all I did was I just going to read something, and when something really ministers to me, I'm just going to look at the reference. I would never look at the reference. So I'll just look at, where is that? Okay, good. I don't try to remember it. I just trust the Lord. And I want to be able to do that more. And I've prayed to the Lord about that. But you can just throw out a whole bunch of verse at them and say, God's not convicting you of that sin. Because you can compare it to a standard. And then when you get condemned and you think God's convicting, you can say, no, that's not true. You don't have to say, devil, that's not true, because he's not speaking to you in your mind. There's more scripture on that. You can say, the Holy Spirit, you're not convicting me of this, because the Bible says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, you convict the world, but you're going to lead me into all truth regarding Jesus. You're going to bring those things to my remembrance, and you can just start going over scripture, and you can disprove a thought that you have, because you have a standard. Where if Noah got a wrong thought, he would just have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what's going on here? And the Lord would have to minister to him directly, the Spirit of the Lord. And that's great. But it's better to have a standard as a sidekick over here. Because, again, we already have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just by himself can tell you, hey, that's not a right thought. I'm not convicting you. That's your conscience. The Holy Spirit can tell you that straight from him. But it's also better to have a standard outside of you. You have the Spirit in you, but you also have the standard, this book outside of you, which is the Word of God, also, including that you have the Word of God on the inside of you, and you have the standard outside of you as well, that you can learn from it and then realize, you know, if it contradicts this, Lord, I may have thought that was you, but that ain't you. There you go. You don't have to worry about it then, because it contradicts Scripture. If you get a thought, or if someone else gets a thought, if you say something, or someone else says something, you weigh it against Scripture, and you say, it is written. Scripture is the only standard for truth. You have the truth inside of you. I'll bring you there in a second. 2 John chapter 1 says that you have the truth inside of you. 2 John 1, 2. You have the truth inside of you, but the truth, the Holy Spirit in you, is not the standard, though. It will never, that is something that is unique to Scripture. Scripture is the standard. The Spirit in you is not the standard. A pastor can't get up and say, well, God told me, and therefore, you need to believe it just because God said so through me. And if you think God has shown you something, you need to compare that to what God told me. You can't do that. God didn't make what you say the standard. God made Scripture the standard. He had certain men of God write this. It doesn't mean God can't speak through you. God can speak through you. I'm going to talk about that right now. God can speak to you, should speak to you. We can hear from God. We have the wisdom of God. We have the mind of Christ. We know all things. But that knowledge inside of you is not the standard. Scripture's the standard. So when you speak, this is why we use so much Scripture here. It's what should give weight to your words, that when you attach Scripture to it, and you can prove to people that what you're saying is by the mouth of not just your witness, but the witness of all the witnesses of Scripture, all the different authors of Scripture, meaning the men of God that God used to write Scripture. Before, when I was thinking about this, the Lord told me ghostwriter, and I didn't know what he meant by it. And I'm like, oh, that's funny. Yeah, there's a ghostwriter for Scripture. The ghost wrote the things through men. All these guys had a ghostwriter. Literally, the writer was a ghost. The Holy Ghost wrote Scripture, and we can teach a whole lot more on that, on how to prove that the Holy Spirit wrote Scripture. But that is certainly a truth. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is inspired by God. And because of that, that's why we can use it as a standard. Okay. I'm going to say something now that's going to rock the boat for some people. I'm not necessarily saying here. Another Scripture, or rather another purpose for Scripture, is its instruction. It's a standard to compare things to. If God speaks directly to you, to your heart, you can compare it with Scripture to make sure it's right. If someone says God told them something, you can compare it to Scripture to make sure it's right. But another purpose of it is just the mere instruction of it, that the help, the teaching of it. It testifies of Jesus so that we can learn from it. Again, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that it's profitable for instruction, for reproof. And so Scripture is good for just the teaching aspect of it. Even if you're not using it as a standard to try to prove or disprove something that you believe God told you, just the fact that you can glean the knowledge of Jesus from it is a purpose of it. Again, 2 Corinthians 3:18 is what tells us that, that's what it's for. At least one of the purposes of Scripture is for its instruction. But here's where I'm going to rock the boat a little bit on you, and I have a bit of time to do this. There's a lot more evidence than I'm sure what I'm going to be able to fit in right now. But can I tell you this, though? Scripture is given to instruct you, but you could hear from God if Scripture was never written. Scripture was not given so you could hear from God. You can hear from God if the Bible was never written. And I got some great proof for that. The proof is the Bible could have never been written if what I just told you wasn't true. How'd the Bible get written? It was written through men, of course, by God. I believe that. I believe that the Scripture is 100% down to the tiniest detail accurate, at least in the manuscripts that were written. Of course, we have English translations that say a whole bunch of stuff today. So you got to get with the best you can do is get a word-for-word translation in English. But in the original manuscript, I believe that it was inspired by God 100%. Okay? But if the Bible was never written, you could still hear from God. People were hearing from God before the Bible was ever written. In fact, like I said, most of the examples and prophets and men and women of God in the Bible didn't have a Bible. Now, many of them knew of certain scriptures, but all of the people before the time of Moses didn't have a Bible, didn't have scripture, and were hearing from God just fine, it seems. Abraham, funny enough, for New Testament saints, us today who have Bibles, the main example that God uses for you to follow, and again, just as an example, I'm not saying you shouldn't want to believe what Abraham believed, because I want to believe more than Abraham ever believed. I have the mind of Christ, not the mind of Abraham, right? But he's just an example. You know, we should want to exceed Abraham, not believe what he believed. Nevertheless, the example that God uses in the Bible for you, for faith, of look at this guy, through faith and patience, he inherited the promises, is Abraham, who didn't have a Bible. Now listen, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, I think it's verse 17, faith, which is what Abraham had, comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Isn't that funny? Faith can only come by hearing the word of God. That's it. And Abraham had faith, but he didn't have scripture. Well, he had to have the word of God, right? So he had the word of God and he didn't have scripture. Because the word of God is just the message of the gospel itself. I know that we use the term the word of God exclusively for scripture, but that is not a correct way to use it. Scripture is the word of God, but to use it exclusively for the Bible doesn't make any sense, because the Bible says that he had faith. The Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said, before he ever wrote it down. When it says the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, that's not saying he was reading the Bible. Now God can speak to you through the Bible. The Bible is the word of God. But people have been hearing the word of God before the Bible was ever written. Abel had faith. He's an example of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham had faith. Moses had faith before he even wrote the Bible. These are men. Joseph had faith. Jacob had faith. Isaac. All these different examples. Noah had faith. The faith of Noah. These are, in fact, most, if I'm not mistaken, don't hold me to this stat, I think most of the people written of in Hebrews 11, which we call the Hall of Faith instead of the Hall of Fame, we call it like the Faith Hall of Fame or the Hall of Faith, most of those people lived before the Bible was written. All these examples of faith, which remember, faith only comes by hearing the word of God, didn't have a Bible. So how'd they get the word of God? They didn't have a Bible, how'd they get the word of God? Because they had the Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 that God speaks to you by his Spirit in the inner man. Inner man is your mind. The Bible says by the Spirit in your inner man. Here's where I'm going to rock the boat on you. And it's just the truth, okay? The primary way, in fact, let me not use the word primary, but the way that you hear from God just for yourself is by his Spirit straight to your mind. We know from the Temple series, I taught the Temple series a while ago, your mind's actually called like the conversing, the place of conversation where God speaks to you in the midst of your heart. From in here, from your belly, straight to your mind. It never leaves outside of you. It never leaves outside of you. It stays inside of you. The Spirit of God in you speaks directly to your inner man. without any outside help. With the remaining time I have left, the way that God speaks to you directly, personally, is not with the Bible. By His Spirit in your inner man. Same as all saints have ever been spoken to by God for all of human history. If that weren't true, if what I'm saying isn't true, the Bible could not have been written, because these men needed to hear from God before they wrote the Bible. The Bible is just what they heard from God written down. So how'd they hear from God? We will talk about the Bible as it is the exclusive or primary or the way that God speaks to you personally. That is not true. It is for our instruction. It is the, now, as far as a standard is concerned, the Bible is the only standard. The only standard. As far as its instruction purpose is concerned, the Bible is meant to also instruct you in addition to your own receiving from the Holy Spirit inside of you, but it is not the exclusive way, it is not the way that God speaks to you personally by His Spirit. It's also a way that God speaks to you, watch this, through another man. Did you know the Bible was written by other men? Now, I inspired by God through them. I just went over that. But it was God writing through people, right? Now, pause on that. Pause on that just for a second. Would anyone, we would know that it would be blasphemy and idolatry, for you to take what I'm saying right now, this message, and listen to it later, and say, Pastor Mike, Pastor Jose, Miss Kim, is the primary way that I hear from God. You know that would be blasphemy and idolatry because you're putting me in the place of the Holy Spirit. You know that, right? Now watch. What if I teach an inspired message, though? Because we know God can speak through us. Otherwise, you guys wouldn't be here right now. In fact, everyone listening online wouldn't even go to church if you didn't think God could speak through somebody, because you certainly don't want to hear the word of a man, right? The Bible says the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. So you don't want to hear the tradition of men. You want to hear the word of God, right? Okay, that's why you go to church. But you would never, no Christian listening to this would ever go to church. And, well, okay, let me rephrase this. Most Christians, let me just say this, a lot of Christians would not go to church and look at the man on stage or the woman on stage and say, they're the primary way God speaks to me. Now, what if they taught an inspired message? We can teach inspired by God. You can teach a whole message that was 100% correct. That's possible. Now, I know we make mistakes as we're growing, but you can teach a message that's 100% correct. You say, well, I don't believe that people can do that. Well, how'd the Bible get written then? Unless you don't believe the Bible's 100% correct. Men wrote stuff that was 100% correct. And that was much longer than just an hour message. A whole book, huge books. Moses wrote 5 of them. And we say that that's 100% correct. Well, if mankind couldn't speak inspired or write inspired by God 100% correct, then the Bible is full of flaws then, which of course is not true. So let's get back to my analogy. If we went to a church and someone taught an inspired message, the Holy Spirit was just on them, everything they said was inspired by the Holy Spirit, of course that can happen. Of course that can happen. The Bible's evidence that that can happen. Of course it can. Even so, you know that that message, for one, is not the standard, right? The Bible is. But also, you know that that message, you would never say, that person is the primary way God speaks to me. Well, why do you do that with Paul? Why do you do that with Samuel? The Bible is an inspired message, which is the Word of God and the only standard, but the Bible is still the inspired Word of God from the Holy Spirit in another man outside of you. The Bible was not written by the Holy Spirit in you. It was written by the Holy Spirit in somebody else. So why is it that you'll go to church and hear the Holy Spirit speak through somebody else and never say that that's the primary way God speaks to you? That would be blasphemy and idolatry, but you'll do that with Paul. If you lived in Paul's time and you were one of the Ephesians, and he sent the letter to you, and he wrote a letter to you, would you look at Paul and say, well, Paul is the way that I hear from God, primarily. I don't hear from God directly, primarily. I hear primarily through Paul, through the agency of Paul, another man of God. You know that would be blasphemy. Every Christian, what I'm saying right now, every Christian knows that deep down. I don't have to convince you of this. You could reject this, but I know that if someone's hearing this right now, you already know that would be blasphemy. You know it. If you lived in the time of Paul, and Paul visited your house, and he shared something with you, a prophetic word from the Holy Spirit, you should receive that for sure and say, yeah, that's the word of God. Watch this. You should take the instruction. You should believe it. That's the word of God. I'm not diminishing that. That's the word of God. But for you to look at that man sitting across from you in your house, Paul, and say, he's the primary way God speaks to me. Oh, hold on a second. You missed it now. It's okay to say it's for my instruction. It's okay for you to say that was 100% the word of God, but it's not okay now when you start saying, nope, I primarily hear from God through Paul. And when you do that with the book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, etc., you're saying Paul is the primary way I hear from God. I can't hear from God, really. It's not a usual thing for me just to hear from God the gospel straight from on the inside of me. No, I got to hear through Paul. It's the same thing with what the Catholic Church does with confession. It's the exact same thing. They say I can get forgiven. Oh, it's because of Jesus, but I have to confess my sins and go through a man. What you're saying is when you say the Bible is the primary way God... Now, I'm not saying the Bible wasn't given for instruction. Now, I'm going to give a little more clarity on it before the message is over. I'm not saying it wasn't given to you for instruction. I'm not saying it's not 100% correct. It should instruct you. And I'm not saying even when God speaks to you directly, you should ever use that without the agency of Scripture to compare it to. But it's the same thing that the Catholic Church does with confession, which is blasphemy. It's absolute blasphemy. In fact, it's because of things like that, that if you do that, and it's not because you're called Catholic. You can be Catholic and be saved. But if you actually trust in the agency of another man for your forgiveness of sins, you are not saved. There is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Jesus Christ, not Father so-and-so. That is blasphemy. Heresy completely contradicts the standard of Scripture. And we do the same thing with the Bible. If the Bible is, oh, that's how I hear from God. It's almost a rare thing. It's the primary way. It's the exclusive way that I hear from God is through Scripture. You've made Paul, the apostles, and the prophets take the place of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. So how do we reconcile these two things? Scripture was given for instruction. So how do we reconcile these two things that I'm talking to you about right now? You hear from God for yourself, and let me share a verse with you. 2 Peter 1:19. How do we reconcile these two things? We can hear directly from the Spirit in our inner man and our mind as we acknowledge the truth that is on the inside of us. I never got to that verse, but 2 John chapter 1, verse 2 says the truth is in us and will be with us forever. You have the Spirit on the inside of you to teach you the truth. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 and 27. 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 and 27. It says you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. That's talking about on the inside. By the Holy Spirit, you know all things. Verse 27 says, and that same anointing teaches you all things. That means there is nothing that the Holy Spirit can't teach you. Nothing. Otherwise, again, we're back to God lied then. The Holy Spirit inside of you knows all things. In your spirit, you know all things. You have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You have the mind of Christ. And it says, and that anointing, the Holy Spirit inside of you, teaches you all things. The Holy Spirit in the book of John says that he would lead you into all truth. There is nothing the Holy Spirit can't teach you. So then why do we need the Bible for instruction? Because we do. According to 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible is written for instruction. So why do we need the Bible then, right? Now that we do, but why, I'm asking. And I'm going to answer that question. If the Holy Spirit in us can teach us all things regarding Scripture, and the Holy Spirit was the only source of instruction for people before the Bible was written, people have been hearing from God, why do we even need the Bible for instruction the way that 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us? Why do we even need the Bible for instruction? Here it is, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. If you were to look at the context here, he's talking about Scripture. When he talks about the word of prophecy, if you look at the context, he's talking about Scripture. Whereunto you do well that you take heed. You do well to take heed to Scripture. Why? For instruction he's talking about. You do well. It would do you good to take heed to Scripture as a light that shines in a dark place. That means as truth that shines in a deceptive place in this world. The Scripture is 100% the Word of God, 100% the Word of God. And it is a truth, a beacon of truth and light to shine into your minds in a world that is deceptive. But why do we need this if the Holy Spirit can already teach us all things? For your lack of knowledge. Why? Watch. You do well to take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until, hold on, he says, you only need to take heed unto Scripture until a certain point. It has an expiration date. Only until a certain point. What is that point? Until the day dawns. That's actually talking about full knowledge. I can't prove that all to you right now. If you look at our glossary, the word day on our glossary, it's talking about a time of revelation. Okay? Revelation. So when it says, until the day dawns and the day star, the morning star, arise in your hearts. You know it's talking about understanding because it says arise in your heart. The Bible says, with the heart a man believes. So when it says the day star, the morning star arises in your heart, that's your thinker up here. This is saying, to cut to the chase, you do well to take heed unto Scripture only for as long as you lack knowledge of Jesus. But when you come to a full knowledge of Jesus, and the morning star rises in your hearts, and you see Jesus completely as he is, with no doubt whatsoever, every Christian will get to that point eventually, sooner or later. Latest at Jesus' second coming. Soonest, whenever you learn it. Because again, you got the anointing in you to teach you all things. But this says, you do well to take heed into Scripture only until you get full knowledge, and then you won't need the Scripture anymore. Obviously, we know that's true. Jesus is going to come back in his second coming and burn all the Bibles up. Did you know that? The Bible's a physical thing. Now, the Word of God will never die. The Word of God lasts forever, the Bible says, because the message has been around before the Bible was ever written, and it will carry on after the Bibles are destroyed. But you will not have a Bible to refer to anymore for your instruction. But you won't need it anymore when they're destroyed. Why? Because you'll know all things. And the Bible itself is telling you the use case, the reason why you have the Spirit to teach you all things, but the reason why you still need to heed the instruction of Scripture, or rather you do well to heed the instruction of Scripture, is not because you couldn't hear from God if it was never written, because people were hearing from God before it was written. That's a completely valid point. So why do we need the instruction of Scripture? Because you don't know everything right now in your physical mind. It's meant to come alongside of you and also teach you, not to be the exclusive way to teach you. Let me make it very simple here. When you hear from God straight to your mind, I'm not talking about with the agency of a Bible right now. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit in you to your inner man. Ephesians chapter 3. The Spirit to your inner man. The Spirit to your inner man. It never leaves outside of you without the agency of another man, without the agency of a book, without the agency of anything on the inside. The Bible says, believe this or not, you are complete in Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 2 says you're complete. That's without a Bible, mind you. You're complete. That means you have all knowledge, all wisdom. He's already abounded toward you in all wisdom and prudence. The Bible says that you have the mind of Christ. You start learning these things, you start actually questioning, which is not, it's okay to ask, but it's not a good question to keep. Why do we need the Bible? Because God wrote it for a reason. If you didn't need it, if it had no purpose, he wouldn't have written it. We know one of the purposes is for a standard, but even for your instruction, he knew that you would do well to take heed unto it. Why? Because even though you have all this wisdom on the inside of you, you're still learning. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to you from on the inside of you, to your inner man, that's you receiving the Word of God for yourself. When you read the Bible, this is going to rock the boat for some people. I pray you consider what I'm saying, though, because I'm giving you Scripture for it. When you read the Bible, that's you hearing from God through another man. I don't know how you get around that, though. I don't know why that would be offensive either. We say all the time that it's the inspired Word of God written through the prophets and the apostles. Aren't they men? Yeah. So why would it be offensive to hear that Scripture is you hearing from God through another man? You're not hearing from God directly. It had to go through Paul. He wrote it down, and you got it. I'm not saying it's not the Word of God. I'm just saying that's not direct to you. That's through the agency of another man. If Pastor Jose gets up here and speaks something inspired, that's the Word of God. Even if it's the Word of God, you should treat it that way, and you should take its instruction. But one, that's not the way that God speaks to you directly. You have the Spirit yourself. The same Spirit that lives in Pastor Jose, that spoke an inspired message, is the same Spirit that lives in you. Isn't it? It's still hearing from God, but it's hearing from God through somebody else. That's not how you hear from God in you. God's inside of you. Likewise, when Paul speaks inspired in Scripture, that's you hearing through another man. If it were not for our tradition, this wouldn't break our brains. If it weren't for our tradition. Can I end on this note? As I said before, I'm not trying to offend people on purpose. I'm really honestly just trying to give you the truth, because this will really help you to understand that I have the truth on the inside of me. Now, God, I should never claim God told me something until I see it from Scripture. If God tells me something, I'm not going to get up here and preach it until I have Scripture for it, even if he shared it with me. I'm going to make sure I have Scripture for it. It's a standard, And also, I'm going to use Scripture. I read Scripture every single day, or at least meditate on it every single day. There are, I'm only saying that because there are times where I already know a Scripture, and I'll just be thinking about it all day. And I take private time, hours of private time, just so that you understand. I'm only saying this for reputation's sake, to defend what I'm saying. I spend hours every single day of quiet time with the Lord. Hours. If I get an hour with the Lord, I feel like I've been gypped that day. Hours and hours with the Lord, meditating on Scripture, and I'll look, if I don't know it, I'll look it up. If I can't quote it to myself, I'll look it up. There's a reason why I can't even quote the Scripture that I can quote to you. I'm in Scripture. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, let not this book of the law, that Scripture, depart out of your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. That's how you should be using Scripture for its instruction. Meditate on it day and night. It should never depart out of your mouth. But what I wanted to tell you, though, is that if I ever look at Scripture and I say, that's the primary way God speaks to me, really, that's idolatry. And I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not trying to offend anybody. That's idolatry. And I used to believe the same thing. I take the instruction of Scripture as the Word of God through my brothers speaking, and I meditate on it day and night. Not only does it keep me straight in the things that God speaks to me directly to compare it to it, to make sure that I'm really hearing from God, but it also is just plain old instruction to me on things that I didn't know. And I'll read the Bible, and God will illuminate something to me in the Bible, and it'll be something that, to supplement my lack of knowledge, to supplement my lack of knowledge, I need the Bible as an out, even though I'm complete in Christ, and I have an anointing that teaches me all things. I haven't received all those things yet. So I need this book on the outside of me to come and supplement my lack of knowledge. Not because if I was receiving perfectly from what I have on the inside of me, I'd even need a Bible. The Bible says you only need the Bible until you get full knowledge. I just read that to you. Until the morning star rises in your heart, only until that point, and then you won't need it anymore. But why do I need to read the Bible? It's not because I couldn't get full knowledge just off the Spirit of God in me. But for one, I'm going to slow down my progress a whole lot without the agency of Scripture, but I take the instruction from Scripture as hearing from God through other men. The Bible is the Word of God through other men. And if I say that the Bible is the primary or exclusive way for me to hear from God, it is idolatry. Because what I've done is I've cut myself off from the Lord. I know we don't describe it this way. Hear me out on this. You've cut yourself off from the Lord. You've disconnected yourself from the Lord and said, if the Word of God, if the Bible is the Word of God through other men, and it's the primary way, the exclusive way even for many people that God speaks to you, that means you can't hear from God for yourself. You have to hear from God through another man. You've made it your mediator. You've made Paul your mediator between God. You've made him the go-between between you and God. God, you need to talk to Paul so Paul can talk to me. That's what Scripture is. Scripture is Spirit working through other men. And if that's true, which it is, every Christian acknowledges that, to say that that is the exclusive way, in fact, you know what? I have to wrap up really here. It's okay, I just got a couple minutes just to wrap this up. But the funny thing is, listen to this. I'm going to give you some church lingo. Pastor gets up and says to the church, don't you guys love the Word of God? That's not wrong to say. But you know what's wrong? You know what's really wrong about that? Not necessarily what he's saying. What does everybody think when he says that? What does everybody think when he says that? The Bible, right? Don't you guys just love the Word? Let's get into the Word today. What do you think he's talking about? What do you think he's talking about? What's the first thought that comes through any Christian's mind is the Bible? It's interesting, right? Because you have the Word of God on the inside of you, but the first thing you think about is the Word of God in somebody else. Isn't that interesting? I'm not saying the Bible's not the Word of God, but should that be the only thing that you think about when you hear the Word of God? Isn't that interesting? The Word of God had to be in Christians for the Bible to even be written. And the Bible is the Word of God. Love it. Meditate on it day and night. Listen, the people that would criticize what I'm saying right now, I only say this for defending what I'm saying right now. The people that would criticize me, I spend more time reading the Bible than the people that would criticize me. I would have a contest with anyone that would criticize me on Bible reading. There are days I'll read the Bible all day long. In fact, before I worked a regular 9-to-5, for years, I would go out and just meditate on the Bible or read the Bible all day with the exception of eating. And I would get so little sleep, I would fall asleep standing up because I would read the Bible so much. So as far as my respect for Scripture, that cannot be challenged. And I only say that to defend the message. That cannot be challenged. I would put my time with the Lord against any person that would criticize me. But, the Bible just needs to be perceived for exactly what it was created for and why God gave it. And when someone gets up, there's a problem with the church's mentality. When someone gets up and says, let's get into the Word, and we only think about the Bible. Meanwhile, the same Word that was in Paul is in you. But you'll think about Paul. The Bible is written by Paul. You'll think about Paul, his writings, and what the Spirit said through Paul instead of the Spirit in you. There's a problem. When someone says forgiveness of sins, do you think about your priest or do you think about Jesus? In fact, when someone says forgiveness of sins, how wrong would it be if I said, don't you just love forgiveness and you just thought about how I'm forgiven? Wouldn't that be terrible? Blasphemous, right? We would, and I'm not saying it. I'm saying Christians would think that, right? If I said forgiveness of sins and you said, oh yeah, Pastor Mike's forgiven, that's awesome. If I said the power of God and you said, oh, Pastor Jose has the power of God, isn't that awesome? If I said the wisdom of God and you thought, oh, Miss Kim has the wisdom of God. But when I say the word of God, that's not blasphemous to think about somebody else exclusively. I'm not saying you shouldn't also acknowledge that Paul had the word of God inside of him, was used by God, and wrote what God made, the standard of truth, which is Scripture. But man, if I say the word of God, first thing I should think about is, yep, right here. And Scripture is also the word of God. Has come alongside of me to instruct me, to supplement my lack of knowledge. I do well to take heed to it as a light that shines in a dark place until I come to full knowledge. If I'm not at full knowledge, I should be meditating on Scripture day and night. It's going to beam that light into my head for all the stuff I'm not receiving directly from the Spirit. But people have been receiving the Word of God since before the Bible was ever written. And people will actually tell you that, nope, God spoke to them one way, and now He speaks to us through Scripture. That's what people will tell you. And that's not true. If that were true, let me translate it for you. God spoke to Noah directly, but He don't speak to you directly anymore. Nope. Has to speak to you through Paul and Samuel and the prophets and the apostles now. We live in a better covenant, and all of a sudden, I can't hear directly from God anymore. And if I can, it's an exception rather than the rule. Primarily, God speaks to me through other people. The Bible is God speaking through other people. And if that's the exclusive way or primary way God speaks, if that's how we're to define it, then that means God primarily speaks to you through somebody else, through the Holy Spirit in somebody else, and that's wrong. That's wrong. I love everybody that would listen to this, but that is wrong. And I say that, again, I say that with all the compassion of the Lord, and I used to believe the exact same thing, and it was wrong when I believed it too. Scripture is for instruction to supplement what you're not getting directly from the Spirit. If you got it all from the Spirit, I'm saying received it to your brain, you wouldn't even need Scripture, and the Bible says so. The Bible says so, right? In 2 Peter 1:19, which we just read. It's only there until you get full knowledge, and then the Scripture will send you on your way. You don't need me anymore. You already know everything from the Spirit. So I hope that tonight has been an advocacy for Scripture in people's minds. I hope that you've seen that it is something you should be meditating on day and night and receiving its instruction day and night. The Holy Spirit through other men. Let's just call that what it is. The Holy Spirit through other men. You should be receiving that day and night. The Bible does hold a place that no message, for instance, would ever hold because it's the standard of truth. Nothing that we teach at Reformed Church is the standard of truth. Only the Bible is. But I hope you've also seen it in its proper context, though. And I hope that when someone says the Word of God, you're not just thinking, oh, yeah, that's the Bible exclusively. When someone says the Word of God, you should be thinking, yep, thank you so much, Jesus, that you died for me to become wisdom and power to all saints, and that's put on the inside of me. And Scripture is also the Word of God, but it also lives on the inside of me. This truth is in me and will be with me forever, right? For 2 John. So I could do that better justice with a longer amount of time, but I think it sometimes helps rather than stretch something into a long series to just kind of like shotgun fire the whole thing at one time so that you can more quickly reiterate that to yourself and understand the truth of this. If anyone has any questions, definitely come stay back afterwards. Ask a question, I can clarify it, would even help me. I don't say everything right. Maybe I can clarify something in the future. If it's clear enough, that's cool. But anyway, good stuff. Anything else? All right. Thank you, Jesus, so much for your word. which is just the message of the gospel in general, including Scripture. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that you wrote it down so we'd have its instruction in the Bible. And thank you for putting it on the inside of us, Lord, so we can understand all things through you. Thank you so much, Lord. We just pray this all in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.